It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. We're broadcasting from up here on Borough Hill, where it's 41 degrees. Same temperature out at the airport. Southeast winds to 7 out there right now. We're looking for cloudy skies today with a high near 44 and southwest winds to 10. For tonight, a chance of rain and snow before 9, then a chance of snow between 9 and 3 a.m., then a chance of snow and freezing rain after 3 a.m. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak's Representative Stutes and Senator Stevens joined KMXT's Talk of the Rock yesterday. We have some highlights. The ferry Matanuska will be delayed further. And Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer has announced he will not be running for Lieutenant Governor in the upcoming election. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Barbara Klein. The nation's coronavirus case count has hit a record high as the Omicron variant spreads rapidly across the U.S. NPR's Ping Wong reports more than 260,000 people are testing positive every day.
The average number of daily COVID cases has jumped 60% in the last week. More than half of those cases come from the highly transmissible Omicron variant. That's according to estimates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, CDC chief, says so far, hospitalization rates are comparatively low.
This could be due to the fact that hospitalizations tend to lag behind cases by about 2 weeks, but may also be due to early indication of milder disease from Omicron, especially among the vaccinated and the boosted.
Even so, around 47% of hospitals are under high or extreme stress. Shortages in staff and capacity mean it's hard to get care for COVID, car accidents, and other healthcare needs. Ping Huang, NPR News.
A federal bankruptcy judge today extended a ban on opioid lawsuits against members of the Sackler family who own Purdue Pharma. NPR's Brian Mann reports the court is giving the parties another 30 days to reach a national settlement in a case worth more than $4.5 billion.
Earlier this month, a federal court tossed out a controversial bankruptcy deal that would have given members of the Sackler family permanent immunity from opioid lawsuits linked to their private company, Purdue Pharma, and its main product, OxyContin. The case is expected to be appealed. In the meantime, Judge Robert Drain has blocked lawsuits against the Sacklers while urging parties to hash out a new national settlement. In this latest hearing, the judge threatened to allow lawsuits against the Sacklers to move forward more quickly if there's not progress. Billions of dollars are at stake. Communities say they need the money to battle the deadly opioid epidemic. Brian Mann, NPR News.
Somalia's prime minister and president are under growing international pressure to step back from an intensifying political feud. The president this week suspended the prime minister, who calls it a coup attempt. As Ishma Fundikwa reports, the U.S. is joining efforts to de-escalate the situation to avert a military clash.
The State Department weighed in following a phone call between Secretary Blinken and Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta. Somali President Mohamed Abdullahi Farmajo suspended Prime Minister Mohamed Hussein Robo, who is facing allegations of involvement in the theft of some land earlier this week. The face-off between the two started in April when the Somali parliament extended Farmajo's term in office. The extension has since been nullified.
Reporter Ishma Fandikwa in Harare. This is NPR.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
Kodiak's legislative representatives have a busy year ahead, and a windfall of federal money has major implications for the state budget. Representative Louise Stutes and Senator Gary Stevens joined KMXT's Dylan Simard and Kirsten Dobroth on the Talk of the Rock yesterday to discuss their thoughts on Governor Dunleavy's budget and more. Representative Stutes was pleased that the ferry replacement for the Tustamina will be funded, but other areas of the Department of Transportation budget left her with lingering concerns.
My concern is, usually the state puts in approximately anywhere between $20 and $30 million into the Marine Highway System annually. This year, they're replacing those funds with federal dollars, and they're only putting in $5 million. That is a huge concern, because if that is the direction that this state is going, when these federal dollars run out, we're going to be in trouble on the Marine Highway System.
Senator Stevens was pleased that the school bond debt was funded after being vetoed by the governor last year, but he didn't think that was a coincidence.
There were a lot of angry people over that, including ourselves, when it was eliminated last time. And it's good to see it there. It should have been there. I think, you know, the governor's running for office now, and I think he realized all the enemies he made with the fishing community, with educators, with other parts of the state of Alaska, that he's made some changes in his campaign for governor now.
You can hear this Talk of the Rock episode on kmxt.org. Senator Stevens appeared on the very first Talk of the Rock 25 years ago. You can also listen to that episode on kmxt.org. Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer announced yesterday that he will not seek re-election.
With that, I am announcing today... It's difficult that I will not be running for re-election to lieutenant governor in 2022. Didn't think it'd be this tough. It's a job I've really loved, and I cherish the time I've had with you, Governor, to do that.
The announcement came at the end of a news conference in which he and Governor Mike Dunleavy announced a catch-all elections bill that they say is aimed at improving transparency and confidence in the process. Meyer, as lieutenant governor, is in charge of the Division of Elections. In May, he took steps to run for re-election. He filed a letter of intent, but now he says he doesn't want to be the candidate in an election he'll also be in charge of.
It's important that I be impartial to meet these challenges that we have coming up in 2022 for this next election. I need to be impartial so I can meet these challenges head on, without any appearance of bias or conflict. I think that's extremely important.
The 2022 election will be the inaugural run for the state's ranked choice voting system, which voters adopted last year in Ballot Measure 2. Dunleavy did not comment at the news conference on Meyer's decision not to seek re-election. He has not yet announced a new running mate. Meyer had faced criticism from some conservative voters for his handling of the last election, including from Alaskans in the Mat-Su, a Dunleavy stronghold. Meyer previously served on the Anchorage Assembly and in the legislature. He took a moment to reflect on his long career.
Frankly, after 30 years of elected service, and I just counted up before this press conference, 19 elections that I've been in, if you count the primary and the general. I'm kind of looking forward to sitting this one out, frankly.
The bill Dunleavy plans to introduce isn't available yet. One part would make changes to the automatic voter registration of anyone who gets a permanent fund dividend. Meyer says it leaves a lot of people on the rolls who don't want to vote or who left the state. Another aspect would allow voters a chance to correct the ballot if they made a mistake, such as forgetting to sign the envelope in a mail-in ballot. Scott Kendall is an Anchorage attorney who wrote the ranked choice voting law. He says he needs to see the bill before he passes judgment, but he's concerned about changes to the automatic registration system, which Alaska voters adopted by a ballot measure in 2016 by a huge margin.
People need to remember 65-66% of Alaskans voted in favor of that change. So changing it to something else, again, got to see the details, but that was concerning to hear.
Kendall has had his differences with the Dunleavy administration in the past. He's the former chief of staff to Bill Walker, the ex-governor now campaigning against Dunleavy to win his seat back. But Kendall says Meyer is a great public servant.
He handled last year's elections well, and I think him being in the office he's in was a positive influence on the way our elections were run, and probably a positive influence on the administration generally.
Many of Alaska's lieutenant governors have overseen the Division of Elections while running for re-election. Grumbling about conflicts of interest in that dual role is common. In most states, though, elections are run by a Secretary of State, which is typically an elected position, too. The Kodiak Island Borough saw a dramatic increase in COVID-19 cases, with 53 new cases reported today for the last week. That's after only 13 active cases were reported for the week of December 22nd. Among the 53 cases were 25 non-resident travel-related cases. All cases were tested between December 21st and December 28th. There have been 2,057 total COVID-related cases to date for the Kodiak Island Borough, with 102 local hospitalizations and 9 deaths due to the virus. The Alaska Marine Highway System has announced further delays for the lone ferry scheduled to serve the Upper Lynn Canal this winter. As KHNS's Mike Swayze reports, this latest delay could mean nearly a month-long service gap for Skagway.
On Tuesday, the Alaska Marine Highway System announced that the Matanuska will need more time in the shipyard to repair steelwork. Their new target date to get it up and running again is January 31st. This will leave Skagway without service from January 8th until February 5th. Haines will be served by the Kennecott on January 12th, but that ship won't call on Skagway. On December 9th, the mayors of both Skagway and Haines wrote a letter to the general manager of the Alaska Marine Highway System, Captain John Falvey. After 2 weeks with no response, they sent another.
All residents in the Upper Lynn Canal could see this coming, and I have no idea why we're being ignored.
That's Haines Mayor Douglas Olerud.
It's kind of crickets coming from the Marine Highway System. We'll keep pounding on that door. We'll keep asking questions. But I don't know when they're going to actually start listening to us.
Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata echoed those frustrations.
This is what we need to be able to function as a community during the winter months. And if the goal here is to disintegrate our entire community during the winter months after we've survived a pandemic, well, then doing a great job.
Both mayors agreed that residents of the Upper Lynn Canal cannot count on flights to Juneau during the winter months due to weather. Both pointed out that the ferry system is supposed to be the reliable alternative. However, over the last half of a decade, it has become increasingly unreliable. The Alaska Department of Transportation oversees the Marine Highway System, and spokesperson Shannon McCarthy said they're considering multiple options to shorten service gaps this winter. That includes bringing the 3-year-old $60 million Taslina back into service sometime near the end of January, or extending the LeConte service for a little while.
But they have to be mindful about when they extend, then it pushes the LeConte's return to the shipyard, the overhaul, that pushes that back. And what we don't want is to be in a situation where if we did find, you know, something that had to be fixed, we don't want to push that into the spring or, heaven forbid, the summer schedule.
McCarthy went on to say that the AMHS does schedule their ships to be overhauled and repaired during the winter months on purpose.
We do try to schedule the overhauls when it's least impactful to the communities. And, you know, it does tend to be more impactful to communities when we get into, you know, spring or summer schedules.
Olerud says it's the lack of reliable wintertime ferry service that's impacting Upper Lynn Canal communities the hardest, and it's forcing people to move away permanently.
It's already happened, and I'm sure it's going to continue to happen until that aspect gets fixed. Anybody that has medical issues trying to get out in those months, not an option. With no ferry system, trying to get to treatments and checkups in Juneau, Anchorage, Seattle, The extra cost in that is huge to our communities.
Olerud also says that his community is trying to bolster wintertime tourism. But with no reliable ferry system to get people to Haines in the winter, he says the more viable option is to fly in and out of Whitehorse in Canada's Yukon Territory. Though he believes that could hurt businesses in Juneau that cater to wintertime travelers. Meanwhile, Kermata continues to press on management to improve service. But the AMHS responds by saying how difficult it is to find crew, produce certifications, and how challenging it is to keep older ships in service.
And I think most people in Skagway, Alaska, and Haines, Alaska, are tired of hearing why things can't happen. These are people that get paid good salaries to run these the Marine Highway and to work within the Marine Highway. There have to be solutions.
For now, the Department of Transportation says it should have a decision made within a couple of weeks as to when Marine Highway service will return to Haines and Skagway in 2022. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
A youth art competition will help determine messaging for signs in Dillingham's Harbor in an effort to keep the water clean. Alaska Sea Grant fellow Tav Amu says elementary, middle, and high school students in Dillingham can submit a design that shows what a clean harbor means to them.
Just to remind folks when they're using the harbor that people care about pollution, and to remind folks not to pollute, and that there are other options and good ways to manage waste while they're there.
Along with the Alaska Sea Grant, the competition has the support of the Bristol Bay Native Association. Amu is heading the art competition as part of his fellowship, which focuses on the Alaska Clean Harbors Project. It's the state's branch of the Clean Marinas Program, a national effort to clean up harbors, marinas, and ports and keep them free of pollution. While the program is a big deal in Lower 48, Amu says it hasn't gained much traction in Alaska.
So we're trying to bring a little bit more life back into it and see what harbors and areas want more attention and want to make it more of a priority, because we all want clean waters for our salmon and for our lifestyles.
The state's Division of Water began tracking water quality in Alaska in their ports and harbors in 2015. In 2020, there was a decrease in ship traffic during the pandemic. The division expanded the project to evaluate how that decline affected water quality. The division selected sites to represent potential pollution, like small boat harbors, cruise ship ports, and commercial shipping docks. It conducted testing at 16 ports from Nome to Ketchikan and at 20 sites along major shipping lanes throughout southeast Alaska. According to the tests, the amount of fecal bacteria exceeded water quality standards in some south central and southeast ports, often around small boat harbors. There's no direct link between increased fecal bacteria and harbors, Amu said. But raising awareness of pollution is a first step toward cleaner water.
It starts with harbors, and there's a huge amount of folks in harbors. And so if bad practices are being done there, it can get worse and worse and worse and get beyond manageable and really impact local ecosystems and people.
The state hasn't monitored harbors in Bristol Bay yet. Amu will continue to survey fishermen and residents on how they would rate the harbor's cleanliness until January 15th. Authorities said on Thursday that they had intercepted hundreds of illicit pills as well as a cache of heroin and methamphetamine at the Ketchikan International Airport on Wednesday. Arrested were 51-year-old Rachel Peterson and 26-year-old Amy Roethlisberger, who allegedly brought the contraband to Ketchikan on an Alaska Airlines flight. Ketchikan Police Department Detective Jack Ford wrote in a sworn statement that officers served search warrants on both suspects and found 699 blue pills stamped M30, which Peterson allegedly admitted were fentanyl, and a crystal substance she allegedly admitted was methamphetamine. Authorities also located an additional 80.6 grams of methamphetamine and 96.2 grams of heroin concealed internally. A search warrant was issued for Peterson's Ketchikan residence, where items found included drug packaging materials, small amounts of meth and heroin, and more than $23,000 in cash. Peterson faces 3 felony drug charges. She's in custody in Ketchikan as of Wednesday afternoon on a $100,000 bail. Roethlisberger is charged with 2 felony drug charges as well. Further information on her was not available. The street value of the seized drugs was estimated at police to be about $123,000. Alaska's U.S. senators introduced legislation to form a panel to study Pacific salmon trends and provide a strategy to support salmon management. According to a news release from Senator Dan Sullivan's office, the Alaska Salmon Research Task Force Act would create a research task force that would convene after a year to report on knowledge and research gaps, as well as further research priorities. The 13 to 19 member panel would include 2 to 5 members from Alaska to represent various stakeholders in state fisheries and commercial subsistence, sport, and recreational users, and at least 1 member appointed by Alaska's governor. Former President Donald Trump says he will endorse Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy for re-election, but only if the governor doesn't back U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski's bid to return to the Senate. Trump praised Dunleavy for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic and his, quote, pushback against the liberal Biden administration, close quote. But Trump said this support would be null and void if Dunleavy endorses Alaska's senior senator. Trump's remarks came in a statement tweeted by his spokesperson. Trump has vowed revenge against Murkowski and other Republican lawmakers who supported his impeachment over the January 6th insurrection. He's also endorsed Murkowski's primary challenger, Kelly Chewbacca.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Got ideas for preventing bycatch? Funding is available. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
Over the past decade, NOAA Fisheries has funded about 140 new innovations through its bycatch reduction engineering program. For fiscal year 2022, $2.4 million will be made available to up to 15 projects, with awards ranging from $50,000 to $200,000 each. Funding priorities include researching new technology, encouraging the adoption of technologies shown to work, reducing mortality of released species, avoiding habitat interactions, and conducting international research. Applicants include U.S. citizens, commercial groups, colleges, municipal or state governments, tribal governments, nonprofits, and foreign organizations. For 2021, the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission got funding to test modified circle hooks to reduce yellow-eye rockfish bycatch in the halibut longline fishery, and funding to improve a communication network for squid fishermen that reduced bycatch of butterfish by over 65%. The Pacific Commission also tested LED lights on West Coast shrimp trawlers and cut Ulacon bycatch by 91%. The lights also showed 86% of captured Chinook salmon how to exit trawl nets. East Coast lobster fishermen are using NOAA funds to deploy ropeless lobster trap retrieval systems to protect whales. The Pacific Halibut Commission got funds to test ways to keep whales from pirating fish from long lines. NOAA Fisheries is accepting pre-proposals through January 20th. Full proposals are due by April 4th. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Spring semester classes start at Kodiak College January 10th, and registration is live now. They have in-person classes during the day and evenings, along with online classes and hybrid offerings to fit a variety of schedules and needs. Free placement testing at the college will be offered December 6th through 9th and January 3rd through 6th. Not sure how to pay for classes or what your next steps are to get registered? Call Student Services at Kodiak College at 486-1266 for help exploring scholarships, financial aid, and the registration process. At Kodiak College, you can stay close and go far.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Here is your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 29th day of December, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 9:53. It will set again at 4:30. That will give us 6 hours and 36 minutes of daylight, a gain of 1 minute and 11 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 49, set in 1990, and our record low was 5, set in 1979, and we are much closer to the record high, with 41 degrees presently here in Kodiak. We're looking for a high of 44 with cloudy skies and southwest winds to 5. For tonight, a chance of rain and snow till 9, then a chance of snow between 9 and 3, then a chance of snow and freezing rain after 3. Cloudy skies tonight with a low around 31 and northwest winds to 10, turning to the south after midnight. For Thursday, snow is likely before noon, then a chance of rain. Cloudy skies tomorrow with a high near 42 and northeast winds to 10, turning to the southeast tomorrow afternoon. For Friday, look for a chance of rain before 9 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow between 9 and noon, then scattered rain showers after noon. Southwest winds to 15 should come down to 10 on Friday afternoon. And for New Year's Eve, scattered snow showers mainly before 9, mostly cloudy skies on New Year's Eve with a low of 15. Northwest wind to 15, increasing to 25 after midnight, could gust as high as 35 on New Year's Eve. For New Year's Day, they're talking partly sunny skies and a high near 27. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up here on the east side at 4:28 this afternoon. That will be a 7/10 of a foot tide, followed by a high tide at 10:44 p.m. of 6.2 feet. Over on the west side, you have a low tide coming up at 5:03 this afternoon. That will be 7/10 of a foot as well in Larsen Bay. That'll be followed by a high tide at 11:09 p.m. of 11 feet. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Small craft advisory through Thursday. West wind to 20 knots today and seas to 9 feet. For tomorrow, south 25, except variable 10 north of Dangerous Cape. Seas to 8 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, southwest 20 today and seas to 7 feet. For tomorrow, northeast 15 and seas to 4 feet. Curbside and home delivery are still available for library patrons. Place holds on materials from your device and then pick them up curbside when the library is open, anytime between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. The library will be closed December 31st and January 1st. For more information, call the library at 486-8686. Were you born in 1957? There were over 4 million babies born in 1957, making this the largest number of baby boomers born in 1 year. Did you know that you will be eligible for Medicare starting in January? You have a 7-month initial enrollment period when you turn 65 to sign up for Medicare, 3 months before your 65th birthday, the month of your birth, and 3 months after. This initial enrollment period is very important even if you still plan to work and have employer-based insurance. Please contact the Senior Center at 486-6181 for more information. And the Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary continues to have their Angels of Love holiday tree up at the hospital. That'll be there through the week of January 15th through 22nd. Each angel placed on the trees bears the name of a person being honored or remembered. The angels remain on the trees through the holiday season, can be obtained for a $10 donation. You can make your donation at the hospital admissions desk. All donations are placed in the Auxiliary Scholarship Fund to offer scholarships for individuals pursuing a career in healthcare.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.